Dogs and people are great companions most of the time, but they also have their altercations, and those are what attracted the attention of the Medford City Council. Earlier this year, the council talked about banning certain dog breeds, the ones that were involved in incidents frequently with people. But the council backed off breed-specific bans. It did not, however, scrap the idea of setting some limits on dog behavior. Those are still being considered. We have two guests with us. Tim George is the Medford Police Chief. Chief, welcome back to The Exchange.
Thank you, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. Maureen Swift is with us as well. Once again, she was here with us to talk about a different matter, the library board, on Friday. She's also the co-chair of the Medford Police Advisory Committee. Maureen, welcome back to The Exchange.
Thanks, Jeff. Good to be here.
So take us down the road already traveled. Tim George, why is this being talked about in the first place?
Well, there were a couple of pretty high-profile incidents that came to the council's attention. In fact, folks actually came to Medford City Council meeting, actually spoke in reference to their experience with dog attacks, and some of those were pretty egregious, and so the council decided to take a look at what exactly our ordinance says and how healthy our ordinance is in relationship to those kind of events. And so it got tasked to the Police Advisory Committee to take an overall look at this thing and come up with a recommendation back to the council on what we could do to improve the situation for both people and dog owners. And that's where we're at right now.
So, Chief, there is an ordinance in place, and what sorts of things was it showing some lack in being able to handle?
Well, for openers, the worst scenario we could get in was a violation, which is essentially a citation. You couldn't be held any more responsible than, in essence, a traffic ticket in reference to the control of dogs. And it's been on the books for a long time, but it's as far as a city ordinance is concerned, it was pretty vanilla. Didn't address the things that really needed to be addressed as far as failure to control a dangerous dog, which would be a dog that actually would cause physical injury to another person or another animal. And in fact, getting to the point where it would actually be a crime if it was intentionally, recklessly, or even with criminal negligence. So that's the direction that that the PAC committee took after a lot of public input. In fact, probably more public input on a specific item than any other item I've ever experienced, as a matter of fact. So you want to get people fired up, start talking about dogs and what dogs they can have, what dogs they can't have, and restrictions on dogs. And there were a lot of input that came our way, and I'm sure Maureen can attest to that as well.
So, Maureen, talk about what the charge was, the specific charge from the council to the committee. The council said, do what?
Well, the first thing they wanted us to do was hold a public hearing. They really wanted the input of the public on this matter. When they had a study session, which people were allowed to attend but not comment, a very large number of people attended that. And so I think they wanted to get a sense of where the public was. And then we were also tasked with coming up with suggestions for rewriting the ordinance as it stood at the time.
Rewriting it to come up with what?
Basically to come up with a better ordinance that allowed the police to enforce dog restrictions and also to, make sure that people were aware of the seriousness of the problem. It was something that, as Tim George had just said, there had been some high-profile incidents that prompted this. But in fact, dogs running loose can create a hazardous situation for young children. If it's a large dog, they can be knocked over. Elderly person, the same thing. And some people's dogs just create situations where they place people in fear of imminent personal injury.
Tim George, is this often a problem with resident population, transient population? I'm trying to figure out where the general set of circumstances arises.
Well, I don't think it's any one specific group or location, but I can tell you this. A lot of this had to do with a lack of education on the dog owner's part as well, because you can't. There's only two places in the city of Medford that you can have your dog off leash. One is in what we call the Bark Park, which is down there on the corner of Highland and Barnett, and the other would be on your property or someone else's private property with permission. So any place else in the city of Medford, your dog has to be on a leash. So that was an education piece as well, and that continues with PSAs and some of our Facebook stuff, but there is kind of a silver lining here if you want to do what I would call a windshield survey, so to speak. I think people got the message, because it's been difficult for me to find a dog that isn't on a leash since this whole thing came into play, so to speak. And so the education piece has really helped as far as keeping dogs on a leash, number one. And then number two, we have certainly seen a decrease in the number of dangerous dog events. When I say a dangerous dog event, I mean a dog that has either attacked a person or attacked another animal. What usually happens is dogs get into a dog fight, and the old line, I wouldn't take you to a dog fight, is not true, because when dogs get into a fight, the owners of those dogs try to separate those dogs, and then they get bit in the process. That's generally what happens.
We are talking about dog rules for the city of Medford with Tim George, the police chief, and Maureen Swift, the police advisory committee co-chair. You can join us on the exchange as we talk about the approach being taken in Medford. 800-838-3760 around the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. So, Maureen, you really got a face full of comment from people about the proposal for breed-specific bans, didn't you?
Absolutely. We had our public hearing, and at the time, we actually didn't get as many speakers as we had expected. We were prepared for a much larger group, but we got over 30 speakers, and only one speaker was in favor of a breed-specific ban against pit bull-type dogs. All the rest of them were, basically proponents of pit bulls, and they call them bully breeds. As wonderful pets and great family dogs. So it became fairly apparent that there wasn't a consensus around the specific breed. And frankly, to be honest with you, when I was growing up, the big breed that was used in that sort of a fashion to be a dangerous dog was the Rottweiler. And we went through Dobermans, and we went through German Shepherds. And if you engage in a breed ban, that's basically what you start encouraging. If I can't have a pit bull, and there are people out there who are going to want to encourage dangerous dogs no matter what you do. A lot of what we did is not designed to impact those people. They're going to have to be dealt with in other ways. But we're trying to, reduce the incidence around town of, people getting inadvertently into situations with dogs that we don't want them to be in, and frankly, they don't want to be in either.
Tim George, have you had a chance to compare notes with police chiefs in other cities about any breed-specific bans? I mean, there are several out there.
There's some in some of the larger jurisdictions, but as Maureen said, we may have planned to have more speakers, but as far as the emails and phone calls and voicemails, it was overwhelming. I mean, there was a huge support group out there for, in essence, punish the deed, not the breed, so to speak. And so certainly overwhelming support to not have breed-specific legislation. But when we had, in addition to the public hearing, we had an additional study session that PAC hosted, and we brought in a veterinarian, we brought in animal control folks, the shelter folks, and everyone was anti-breed specific ban. It wasn't just the folks, the specific special interest group. It was pretty widespread across the board that it really isn't a breed scenario, than it is a dog owner or dog controller issue. And so that's where we went. And kudos to the PAC committee, because this was not an easy topic, and Maureen can attest to that. She switches hats from one show to the next. She's a very busy woman, but certainly she guided us and helped us. And it certainly wasn't an easy task, because there were a lot of emotions on both sides of this thing. But when it's all said and done, what we're going to come back to the council with here in short order is an additional failure to control a dangerous dog ordinance, which I think is going to accomplish what we needed to accomplish, and that is put some more teeth into municipal ordinance, so to speak, no pun intended here,
right,
to deal with failure to control a dangerous dog, and it's pretty well spelled out as to what those specific points of that ordinance would be. If you were intentionally or recklessly allow a dog to inflict, with criminal negligence, allow a dog to inflict, if you have three or more violations of our previous ordinance, which would still be on the books, with the exception of your dog defecating in public, that one wouldn't count, but if you had three or more within a within a 1 year time period, and then it would increase into the failure to control the dangerous dog. It would move us from a violation into a crime, so to speak. And then there's some additional conditions what the municipal judge can be allowed to do in this scenario as well, and we'll make sure that we have municipal court and the municipal judge in concert with us with this as well when we present the final draft to the council for adoption.
All right, we're talking about how to handle dogs through ordinance in the city of Medford with Tim George, the police chief, and Maureen Swift, the co-chair of the Police Advisory Committee. Here's a call from Grumpy John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
You know, so far, Jeff, you've neglected to inform one of the most important aspects of dog control. If there is a dog fight going on, do not try to separate them by grabbing the collar. The dogs are going for each other's throat. You are sticking your hand into the teeth of the battle. Grab them by their rear legs and fling them apart. Do never, never grab them by the collar.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for providing the advice, Grumpy John. Chief George, is that square with any knowledge you have about how to break up dog fights?
I'm certainly not an expert in breaking up dog fights, so I certainly wouldn't put my hand in between two dogs that were trying to bite each other's neck, that's for sure. Couple other options there as well for us, but generally, in one of those situations, one of those dogs hopefully is going to be on a leash if it's in the city of Medford, unless you're in the bark park. But dogs that are unruly or creating a dangerous situation in the dog park are generally banned from the dog park as well. So I'm certainly not the expert in breaking up dog fights.
Right. Maureen Swift, on the Police Advisory Committee, did you have somebody else's ordinance to be able to look at and see how that would be adapted for Medford, or did you pretty much start from bare earth and build up from there?
A little bit of both and neither, I guess. You know, we certainly looked at our existing regulation and looked to beef it up, but we had, you know, a variety of other regulations to look at. From, you know, not only from within the state of Oregon, but we looked at a few from outside that were considered to be model regulations. In the end, I think that we looked more to what was on our books and what could be done better with it. Part of it is just an enforcement issue. You know, in the scheme of everything else that goes on a day-to-day basis in the city of Medford, enforcing your dog leash, you know, laws is probably not the highest priority, and I think we would all agree on that. But nonetheless, it is still something that can and should be enforced, and I congratulate the MPD for taking some steps to move in that direction since we've had this discussion with the public.
Should the ordinance you're looking at come to pass, I mean, what's the highest sanction we're talking about in jail time and fines?
Well, municipal court certainly only deals with misdemeanor offenses, and this would be considered a crime under a municipal ordinance, so a misdemeanor offense. I mean, the maximum you could get would be up to a year in county jail, and there's a monetary fine, and I don't have that monetary amount in front of me, but anyways, I believe it's going to be substantially less than that all the way around. I mean, those are going to be so few and far in between. Those are going to be exaggerated cases, because that's not the intent of this. That's just an option that a municipal judge has, and a fine's up to a municipal judge as well. But what's 5.604, we're attempting to add the additional conditions to the criminal penalties: order a person to provide an enclosure to adequately confine a dangerous dog, order a person to post their property with visible warning signs if they have a dangerous dog, obtain a certain type of insurance or surety bond. A couple other things on here, too.
And is this based on if a dog has already made an attack? That's what classifies
right.
It as a dangerous dog.
Yeah, we also require them to have the dog spayed or neutered and
spayed,
to provide documentation of
spayed
that.
Spayed or neutered documentation. Right? Suspend an egregious situation, the judge could actually suspend a person's right to own a dog in the city for a period of time as specified by the court.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask about that. So I don't want to call it a death penalty, but you certainly can't own a dog for a while.
Right. Require a person at the person's expense to attend a responsible pet ownership class if they still want to maintain that animal, and any other additional conditions that protect the public health, safety, or welfare could be up to the municipal court judge. So there's some options there as well per the ordinance, and like I said, we're still in the final planning stages before we submit to the city council for adoption here. But we want to make sure that we have municipal court and the municipal judge on board with all this as well to make sure that we are doing something that's that's doable, number one. But like I said, those are going to be the egregious cases, and those are going to be pretty few and far between. The biggest issue is going to be with people getting convicted of three or more of the previous violations for failure to control your dog, period, within a year's time period, then moves that up from a violation to a crime. And that's if you're chasing persons or vehicles, you're scattering garbage, or you are specifically being off-leash or allowing your animal to roam, so to speak. So
it's a three strikes kind of thing. There's a cumulative effect on multiple.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right.
But it doesn't have to be. I think the information that came out on the Tribune wasn't exactly. It was three bites and you're out kind of a thing. It doesn't have to be. It could be one strike and you're out, depending on what the strike is.
The severity of it is what sets the tone.
Correct. The failure to control the dangerous dog. It could be if you had intentionally or recklessly permit your dog to inflict injury to another person or animal, then it's right off the bat you're into the crime category with the proposed ordinance.
So. We'll take a couple more minutes here to talk about Medford's proposed dog ordinance with Police Chief Tim George and Police Advisory Committee Co-Chair Maureen Swift at 800-838-3760 and 541-552-6782 and jx@jeffnet.org. Is there anything in this ordinance so far about a lifetime a ban on owning a dog? Does it ever rise to that level?
No.
Okay.
But, again, there's state law that plays into this thing, too, depending on we're just talking about a municipal ordinance here. There's other things that come into play. There's always been state law that plays into the thing. If you're using your dog as a weapon and intentionally assault somebody, and depending on the severity of the assault, now you're getting into state crimes. Potentially you could be into a felony, and now you're into circuit court where other rules come into play. So we're just talking about municipal ordinance, the stuff that we deal with on a day-to-day basis in our parks and our public ways in the city of Medford, but that doesn't preclude what happens at the state level and even at the county level when animal control is going to seize the animal. And again, you got license situations and you got vaccination situations, and there's an appeal process whether or not you're able to keep that particular animal or not. So other things come into play other than just the Medford municipal ordinance.
All right. Maureen Swift, is the way ahead clear at this point? I mean, is it just a matter of doing some housekeeping, some dusting and cleaning on some of the parts of the ordinance, or are there still some major pieces that have to be negotiated?
I don't think it's a question of major pieces being negotiated, but it is going to be an ongoing effort. One of the other things that came out of our series of meetings is an educational outreach component. We feel that it's important to begin a process of educating the young children on what is the appropriate way to approach and handle a dog. A lot of kids will get bit because they look at the dog, they think it's cute, they run up, they want to hug it, and a dog isn't necessarily want that to happen. Their reaction is to bite. And a lot of kids find themselves getting bit that way. We have a program that we're investigating that we'll be putting in at it's very elementary, first, second grade level, where we just teach kids that, you know, you're supposed to give the dogs their space and don't, you know, interfere with them when they're trying to eat. Things that might seem common sense to us, but that really children don't necessarily learn specifically. And so we thought that that was a useful thing. We're also going to be doing at least one, if not more, PSAs that talk about keeping your dog on a leash and the importance of doing that.
If you're going to spend money on PSAs, is there also any discussion of spending money on signs? I mean, would it help to put signs around various parts of the city to say, hey, your dog needs to be on a leash?
Yeah, there's already signs in place in the city parks and public ways. So I think some additional signage may be appropriate in some areas where there isn't signage. But there's already signage there, number one. But Maureen's right. There's an education piece. And we actually got into a deal with one of the local vendors, I think it was the Grange, and we actually purchased some inexpensive leashes. So we have our community service officers out there, we have our volunteers out there on the Greenway patrols, that if we see someone that doesn't have a leash and needs to have a leash, then we're going to provide them with a leash, and hopefully they don't have to get a citation with the leash, but if that's what it takes, that's what it takes. But really, if the dog is leashed, it's going to reduce our events dramatically, and that's really what we're after.
Huh. So some proactive stuff up front rather than trying to bust people on the backside. What's the
both.
Both. You'll take them both. Maureen Swift, what's the schedule then? I mean, when do you get this before the council and say, here, it's yours?
Actually, at this point, correct me if I'm wrong, Chief, but the council does have it now. We did our final handoff to them at the beginning of May. The council is right now working with the city attorney to finalize the language and, as Chief George described, making sure that we've got the courts in alignment with what we're trying to do. So it is sitting with council as to when council is going to make a final determination. That'll depend on when the city attorney gets done with their work.
And right, we're still doing some minor tweaking, and again, including this court judge in this situation as well. But then we'll bring it back to council with an opportunity for the adoption of the ordinance here, hopefully for the next 2 months.
All right. We will see sometime in probably August or September what happens with dog ordinances in the city of Medford. Tim George is the police chief. Maureen Swift co-chairs the police advisory committee. Thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, Jeff.
You bet. Good to have you. We will take a short break on the exchange, return with Garrison Keillor and the Writer's Almanac, followed by Southern Oregon University's new president. That's all ahead in this hour of the Jefferson Exchange.